Welcome to Channel 9 at TechEd Europe. I'm Simon Perryman, Senior Technical Evangelist, and in this session, we're going to be taking a look at some of the latest networking enhancements coming with Windows Server and System Center. First, let me introduce my guests. I'm joined by Greg and Mahesh, two of our program managers on the System Center and Windows Server team. Greg, why don't you quickly introduce yourself? Tell us what you do.
Yeah, hi, Simon. Thanks. It's good to be here again. My name is Greg Cazenza. I'm a program manager on the Data Center Networking and Platform team, and I work on networking. I've been with Microsoft for about 5 years now.
Great. Mahesh.
Yeah. Hi, guys. I'm Mahesh. I'm a program manager in the Windows networking team, and I've been in Microsoft for 9 years now, working all along on the networking.
Well, thanks for joining us, guys. It's an exciting week for you. I know you guys have been working on this latest release for about 3 years now, and now's the opportunity where we can finally start telling our customers about what's coming next.
Yep.
Now, a couple weeks ago, we recently released the latest edition of, we released Threshold, our preview, technical preview edition here. People have started to see some of the features, but I really wanted to take this opportunity to go through the detail and kind of talk about not just our strategy, but also some of the new enhancements that we're ready to announce and share with the world. I guess, first of all, Greg, can you kind of walk us through our strategy? What was our key investment areas we're making with this release?
Yeah, so I mean, if we break down our software-defined networking strategy, you can really break it down into three components. First is the data plane, which is where the packets flow through the wire. Above that is the control plane, which is essentially what tells all the endpoints of Hyper-V what to do and how to send those packets through the wire. And then above that is the management plane. This is typically System Center, VMM, and all those components that customers interact with and they use on their day-to-day basis. So we work through and we talk about this strategy from that layer, management, control, and data plane.
That makes sense, because, okay, great. So I guess, first of all, let's focus on the data plane here. We'll start at the bottom of the stack. What have kind of been the key investment areas that we're making with this upcoming release?
Yeah, so the data plane, you've seen it in the past in the form of network virtualization and all the policy that we push out to the edge of the Hyper-V host and the virtual switch. We're making some key investments in this area and focusing on what we now call network function virtualization. So basically taking our virtual networks and adding additional capabilities to them to make them act like more like your real physical networks, as far as being able to insert services into them, adding additional edge capabilities, and really expanding on those virtual networks that they can behave and you don't have to re-architect your applications to work within them.
Now, these network function virtualization, or NFVs, are they actually virtualized components? People don't need to actually go and buy physical hardware that they insert in the data center, is that right?
Right. It's still working within software, entirely in software, inside the Hyper-V host. And all the hosts work together in order to make these virtual networks, these NFV networks, expand across your entire data center where needed. And so it's all orchestrated through the whole stack.
So what are the new NFVs that we've been introducing in this release?
Yeah, so NFV itself, is the virtual network. Now, what we're doing is we're enhancing the capabilities of it, as I mentioned before, the ability to insert services in between where the packets go from point A to point B. You'll be able to route those packets into a firewall appliance or some other third-party virtual appliance that you bring into that virtual network. We're also making key enhancements into the edges of these virtual networks so that, as the packets come in and out of the virtual network, we'll be able to do things like software load balancing so that you can have a virtual IP address on the outside of your network that gets redistributed across to all the VMs inside of the virtual network to handle that load.
Let's talk a little bit about SLB, or software load balancing. Traditionally, we've had Windows Server Network Load Balancing, or NLB, available as one of the technologies in the box. Are we enhancing this, or is this a different version that's coming out?
Yeah, so NLB has been around for a long time, and it actually works really well at the things it does. But one of the things it doesn't do is work with network virtualization. So SLB is a technology that we've actually taken that's been in use in Microsoft Azure for quite a while now, and it's been tested at scale. And so we're bringing that into the Windows Server product to make it available to private cloud and service provider customers.
So if I get this straight, you said that we've actually been testing this in Azure. So this has been well tested at massive scale for
a while.
Yeah,
we haven't actually been testing it. We've been using it in production.
And our customers have been using it in
production. Exactly. Yeah, so it's beyond test at this point.
And from my understanding as well, it's not just in Azure data centers. We've been using this across all of these Microsoft cloud-based services for several years as well. So we're putting it running it in what we call our GFS data centers, which are the things supporting things like Office 365, Outlook.com, Xbox Live. So it really has been tested to massive scale before we're now actually productizing it and offering it to our customers.
Yeah, and that's one of the great things about us operating these data centers, that we can, you know, run these technologies at scale, you know, and prove them ahead of time, ahead of bringing them to, you know,
excellent.
Customers.
Now, tell me a little more about Edge Gateway, one of our NFVs. What exactly does that do, and how is it being improved or enhanced in this release?
Yeah, so if you've looked at what we have in 2012 R2, our Edge basically consists of forwarding, it consists of site-to-site tunneling, it consists of NAT. We're bringing those same capabilities over into the NFV world, but we're also improving on our availability story with them. So today, it's one active, one passive node for the gateway. We're making it M is to N. So you can define how many nodes you want available and how many you want to have available for standby. We're also adding some additional capabilities, such as GRE tunneling into the Edge Gateway, so that you can now extend the isolation outside of the virtual network into another physical segment, whether it's a VLAN or it's an MPLS endpoint, you'll be able to expand that outside. And then, of course, SLB is also one of the edge components itself.
What protocols are we going to be using? Are we still using NVGRE here?
Yeah, NVGRE, it's an important part of the internal workings. But we're also doing a lot of focus on interoperability with other devices. Even devices that use VXLAN, we'll be able to interoperate with those as well. So our focus is not as much on what protocol is used underneath. We'll pick the right protocol depending on what device is used and how your system's configured. You know, the key is that, you know, it will enable more scenarios around other types of devices for your virtual networks.
I think that interoperability story is really important. Just for some context, VXLAN, that's the networking protocol used by VMware. And so one challenge that I've heard from customers is they have this concern that in the future, we're going to have this protocol battle, right? Microsoft supported NVGRE, VMware supporting VXLAN. But what I really think is great, you know, both companies are now starting to come together, provide interoperability between both platforms. And even moving forwards in the future, we've jointly submitted a new proposal to the IEEE with Geneve as a shared protocol as well. So certainly encouraging to see this going forward.
That's right.
I think you're going to see additional protocols behind the scenes. We'll have additional interoperability with not just with VMware, but also with Cisco and other networking vendors out there. You know, there's another protocol called OpFlex, which is used for communicating with other network devices. You'll see that in the future at some point as well.
Great to hear that we're so focused on that. Now, let's move on and talk a little bit about the controller plane. So Mahesh, I guess first of all, tell us, what is the importance of the controller? Why do we have one, and why are we introducing this in software?
Right. So traditionally, if you look at you know, the typical management plane and the data plane kind of an operations, it always had a challenges of having the data plane to be controlled in an appropriate manner, and especially when it comes to, you know, from the agility point of view or flexibility point of view, in the terms of scale of you know, the network when it is trying to expand and other things and stuff. And that's exactly the reason why you're bringing in another abstraction layer from the control plane point of view. So a lot of capability from the management plane is getting abstracted to the control plane, and that defines the controller in itself, right? And what the controller is going to provide is the necessary power for any administration of the different kind of networks with regard to configuring the data plane entities. And all of these data plane entities also have cross dependencies, so it's better managed in the controller than getting managed out in the management plane. And the overall abstraction is bringing in a lot of streamlined process, wherein the management plane just needs to be very declarative when it comes to what it wants you know, on the data plane. And the controller actually disseminates what the declaration is, and it's actually going to route the right kind of you know, process and operations onto the data plane entities and stuff. So that's the power of the controller.
So what are the key investment areas we've made in the controller plane with this release?
Oh, great question. So if you really look at the controller, you know, we have emphasized that it's just not only about the virtual network that we manage from this controller point of view. We also adequately manage the physical network that is required for this particular virtual network, right? And it's pretty much encompassing all that's required for the physical and the virtual network, and even from the both from the setup experience point of view as well as from the operations point of view. So we have monitoring capability as well built into this controller, which provides a necessary insight about the complete data plane and, you know, providing the right kind of leads for both the management plane applications as well as network-aware applications like Link when it comes to consuming the data plane operations.
So you mentioned both the physical and the virtual. Does this mean that it's going to be able to manage both the overlay network as well as the underlay network?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's literally going to manage both the overlay as well as the underlay networks.
Now, how are we working with our partners on this? You know, I guess a lot of the underlay networks, they're provided by our hardware partners, right?
Right.
How are we interacting with them? What's our kind of partner ecosystem going forward to ensure that we do have that interoperability between
Absolutely.
Them?
Absolutely, yeah. So just before alluding to the partner part of it, right, I'm just going to briefly explain about the architecture of the controller. The controller has a northbound interface, which is all about the REST APIs, which can be leveraged by any of the management applications or the network-aware applications to get a deeper insight about the network as well as configure the data plane and stuff. And then we have a southbound interface, which is pretty much extensible. And that has a lot of different protocols that we support today, right? For example, we have the SNMP, the OMI, the WMI. We have the OVSDB support. And it's pretty extensible framework. The whole controller itself has a necessary abstraction in plane wherein you can really have it extended. Now when we discuss about the partner, at this point in time, we are working with Dell to have the Forestance, which has been configured from the physical network point of view, through the controller and stuff. And likewise, even from the virtual network, if you look at, Greg could allude to that, you have any of the virtual network functions of a different vendor, we would be able to manage because we have the more a common OVSDB kind of a protocol as well enabled as part of the southbound and stuff. So a partner ecosystem really goes in both the directions wherein we are trying to engage with the NFV providers as well as with some of the physical network providers.
Now, are there any enhancements around Hyper-V virtualization related to networking that you can tell us about as well?
Right. So traditionally, our Hyper-V network virtualizations were largely with the NVGRE kind of a protocol. And we definitely have tried to open it up and trying to make even the VXLAN as part of a stack. Right. And the whole idea is to bring in a lot of interoperability. And that's very critical when it comes to a hybrid kind of a scenario, wherein you really need to have a controller in place wherein you can enable one to leverage this controller to manage a traditional NVGRE-based network as well as the VXLAN kind of a network.
Right. Well, let's move on and start to talk about the management plane as well now. Greg, I think you're going to start to give us an overview of how we're doing integration and managing it with System Center. So what's new?
Yeah, so System Center has had the ability to manage network controllers for at least two releases now. Since 2012, we introduced the ability to talk with the Nexus 1000V and also the NEC OpenFlow controller. So being able to add in a Microsoft network controller into VMM is a natural evolution of that. So we are working with the VMM team to be able to take advantage of all these new capabilities in the controller. And now instead of VMM focusing on how do I distribute all of this out to the Hyper-V host, they can figure out what is the right way to expose this as management entities to the customers, and make it easy to consume, easier to configure, easier to deploy, both on the fabric side and even for the tenants as well.
So if I understand correctly, you're saying that VMM itself is doing less direct network management. We're going to be leveraging the network controller role of Windows Server and having that primarily do the management?
Yeah, so SCVMM will still be the interface that the customers use to configure their networks and define what their network's going to look like and to define what kind of networks they're going to have and what kind of policies are going to go out there. But it's really the controller. They'll talk to that single point of the controller, and the controller will go out and figure out, okay, which Hyper-V host needs to have this information, which of the VXLAN gateways needs to have this information. So VMM just talks to one entity, and then which is the controller, and the controller will now go out and talk to all the hosts, make sure that if a VM moves, then it will update the policy for the new host that VM landed on.
Great. What other investment areas are we making around System Center as well with our network management?
So there are some other improvements that are being made as well. We're adding in the capability to do what's called consistent device naming in the guest. So one of the common problems that customers have today is when you create a VM and that VM boots up and you look at the network adapters in there, you don't know which of the actual virtual adapters on the outside those
right,
adapt to.
That's a common problem.
So now you'll be able to define in the VM template when you create the VM what you want those adapters to be named, and that'll show up as device properties inside the network adapters, inside the guest. So that's one of the areas that VMM is working on. And then beyond that, it's really focusing on enabling these new scenarios around the controller, which you'll see later on in this release cycle, VMM will start to add the Microsoft controller
to
itself.
If I may add to it, right, so like how Greg was alluding from the virtual machine manager point of view, the controller also has an integration with the System Center Operation Manager.
Tell me a little about that.
Yeah, so the controller has an inbuilt network monitoring capability. The whole idea is basically trying to do a live network transaction, like a kind of a TCP/IP pings, within the inter-subnet, intra-subnet, and from a subnet to an internet kind of a layer. And that's really going to provide a perspective around the loss and the latency in the network or the performance of the network in itself. And that information which the controller has is going to, along with the impact analysis which it understands, that in case if there is any fault that has occurred in the physical network, and which is a virtual network that is getting impacted about it. All this information is going to power into the System Center Operation Manager, and you're really going to have a much more a deeper network insight, you know, from the point of view of health and other things.
Now, in today's version of Operations Manager, 2012 R2, you have a feature called Network Vicinity Dashboard. It allows you to actually draw that physical topology. Are there any enhancements made around that at this release?
Right. So the Network Vicinity Dashboard really provides a kind of a perspective of the overall topology that has been rigged up and its interconnections and the health aspect of it. The network monitoring capability, what resides in the controller, actually goes a little step further to give more information with regard to the loss and latency and the performance of the network itself between the different fault domains.
You know, so not just availability, but performance as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's the value add that one end user would be able to experience out of the SCOM.
Awesome. So a lot of investments there. You could see us continuing to integrate these two products.
Absolutely.
I guess a lot of convergence we're really seeing now, not just with System Center and Windows Server, but also with Microsoft Azure. So I want to kind of move on and talk a little bit more about hybrid cloud. What are we investing there? How are we better connected with Azure?
Right. So we have made great investment on the connectivity side. I mean, Greg just alluded to it from the edge perspective. So. Today, if you look at Azure, uses the site-to-site gateway capability along with various other auxiliary capabilities that is there from the edge point of view.
So site-to-site gateway, can you just give us a quick overview of that?
Yeah, so site-to-site gateway is a very integral part of your hybrid cloud strategy, right? That gives you the perspective of how two networks, it could be the on-prem of your private cloud, how that is getting connected to the Azure and stuff. And provisioning of that is critical, and which is something which we're trying to streamline. And the connectivity also from both the different network point of view, there are a lot of information from the route and the network which it needs to be learned, which is getting learned through the BGP, which is getting translated at both the end. So things are far more seamless and simpler when it comes to the hybrid strategy point of view.
Great.
Yeah.
So continuing on the hybrid cloud, what are the other investment areas that we're making here with the networking?
Right. So. At this point in time, we have consolidated our connectivity edge with a lot of different auxiliary services, like how Greg was alluding to with the SLB in the picture, with the forwarding gateway, and how the edge is really getting much more comprehensive and resilient when it comes to connectivity that is required, much required for a good hybrid cloud scenario. Yes, we understand there are a lot more other investment which we need to really do from the point of view of monitoring and its management across looking at this entire hybrid and one unified plane. And something. So those are our active investment and thinking, for a future and stuff.
Great. Now, as we wrap things up here, we've talked about some of the investments we've announced already. Moving forward over the next couple of months that we start to continue to develop the product, what are the other big investment areas we're making?
So there are other areas being invested in around network performance in the NIC. We have another feature called Converge NIC, which is bringing in RDMA capabilities into the virtual switch.
Remote direct memory access.
Yep. So you'll see that today. It's used for giving SMB really fast access to the Hyper-V host for storing your virtual disks on a scale-out file server. So by bringing that into the virtual switch, you now no longer have to have a separate set of adapters that are used for the RDMA NICs that you would have for your VM NICs.
Excellent.
So we're merging those in together and then doing it in a way that performs really well as well.
That's the virtual network side of the story. On the physical network aspect of it, we are basically trying to work with Dell, who's a partner, to consolidate the switch configuration. So the entire S4810 series of switch that today Microsoft Cloud Platform System uses would be completely automated with Microsoft technologies. So that's something which we're actively pursuing and working. It should be up and running around January. We look forward to that.
Very soon. Just for some context, CPS, or our cloud platform system, this is the new hardware, joint Dell-Microsoft hardware solution that we're providing that essentially gives you that cloud in a box.
Absolutely.
With the hyper-converged storage, networking, compute, all laid on top with the System Center, Windows Server, and Azure Pack Management as well.
Yes.
Now, over the next couple of months, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more news coming out. You guys have really been investing a lot. Where can people kind of stay on top of what's the latest and greatest that's happening in networking?
Great. So networking is kind of a space which is, I would look at it more from a very horizontal sphere point of view, with with the advent of IoT, which we really see in the enterprise segment as well as even in the consumer segment and stuff, you know, the, a lot of active thinking which we need to do, what it requires from the networking point of view. We definitely want to, you know, empower, you know, more and more enterprises to move towards Azure. So hybrid is a scenario which we really would like to target, you know, in a great leap and faith and stuff. So these are, I would say, these would be the kind of, you know, areas that we really target at this point in time.
Great. And do you have a team blog or something else that people could go to learn
there's
more?
Yeah, I mean, there's the Windows blog, the Windows Server blog, and then System Center, of course, has their team blog as well. So there will be updates throughout this release cycle to those locations.
Great.
Definitely keep your eye out for them.
Well, thanks for joining me on the show. Congratulations to your whole team about all of these investments you're making. I know back in my days on engineering, it was so exciting when you could finally start to speak to customers about it. So I'm sure you're enjoying this. Thanks for coming on the show, and
thank you,
thanks for sharing all this knowledge with our customers.
Thanks, Simon.